Hi there, and welcome to the One Pres Pod, a podcast for First Presbyterian Church in Fort Smith. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to faith and the life of followers of Jesus. Join us. Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the One Pres Pod. It is me, Phil Blackburn, and with me is a very special guest.
It's Tasha Blackburn.
Yes, Tasha.
Nice to see you, Phil.
Nice to see you. We are coming to you on Thanksgiving Day.
Wow.
We're not actually recording it on Thanksgiving Day, but you're going to get it.
I mean, I've already been eating.
That's right.
As if it's Thanksgiving Day. Does that count?
That does count. And we thought, listen, you guys are going to need some excuse to get away from your families. So here it is. You can tell them you have to listen to a Bible study.
Exactly. And use the internationally accepted symbol of AirPods in your ears.
Right.
Which means you are unavailable for the next 30
right.
minutes.
So when they say things to you, you just tap your ears and shrug. Or you just completely ignore them as if you are deaf. That's
yes.
what happens in our household with our
it's
children.
Fine. Yeah.
Like as we're screaming their names when we're standing 5 feet from them.
Yes, they don't hear a thing.
They don't hear a thing.
Yes.
So anyway, a helpful parenting tip right there. Just you got to go physically grab them sometimes.
Exactly.
Anyway, so we're continuing our little God Is Not series. Tasha, are you enjoying this series?
Well, I think it is a helpful way to think through some things. And I hope what people are getting from it is it's actually more helpful in the living out of it
mm-hmm.
and the living through it and the living of it with it in the background of your brain mm-hmm. kind of than it is in these initial introductions mm-hmm. I think as we said last week with God Is Not American, you know, on the face of it we're like, yeah, thank you, you know, but in the living out of it to mm-hmm. have our antenna up.
Yeah.
Our sort of spiritual antenna up.
Right.
To say, huh, do I need to go for that whole hog right there? I actually don't think that that's how God works. You know, mm-hmm. when we start to see the two get combined.
Right.
America and God.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a helpful series and a helpful way to think in the living out of it.
Mm-hmm.
More than maybe even that initial introduction.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. And I mean, I think that's one of our primary, certainly been a big change for me in my life, like from seminary where doctrine was still very important when we were in seminary back in 97 to 01.
Mm-hmm.
Doctrine's important, but the so what piece mm-hmm. is really, really important. Like, okay, so I say God is not American, but so what? Like
yeah.
the living out.
Yeah,
like
the living
how,
out.
How is that embodied
yeah.
in how I live my faith, how my church functions, how mm-hmm. I talk about Jesus, like mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you have just now made me think of something that it's a very, very, very brief rabbit trail, but under the heading of God Is Not, right? Under that big umbrella, I remember, so we've had years of theological education by the end of seminary. Seminary, everybody, just so you know, is a 3-year master's degree, and then you and I both did full year-long internships, so it's 4 years of this theological education, all this reading and all of these people, and a bunch of that reading was something called systematic theology. The systematic theology. So here's the system. And I remember 4 years in, and this thought occurred to me. I don't know that God is systematic.
Yeah. It's problematic, isn't it?
And I thought, mm-hmm. oh, well, there's 4 years worth.
Yeah.
But I don't know that God is systematic.
Right.
I don't know that God will adhere to our categories, like mm-hmm. you say with doctrine. Doctrine is good, and doctrine can be helpful to us, the way we think through things. But I don't know that God mm-hmm. follows our set mm-hmm. brackets.
Right. Yeah, I think, too, the systematic theology only matters in the ways in which it shapes your interactions and relationships,
yeah.
right? I think that's the piece that
it was important
of,
for me.
Right. And
not God.
Yeah. And I, right. God didn't, I don't think cares
yeah.
how strong our doctrine is. There's not a lot of evidence of that in
yeah.
scripture. Confessions in the New Testament are pretty simple.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord, right?
Yeah. Jesus is Lord is the only doctrine,
right,
basically.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a statement of belief, but it's also a statement of lifestyle. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus is Lord,
then it means all these other things.
It means all these other
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
under the heading of which this week's mm-hmm. God Is Not,
Yeah.
Is, and we'll see what our listeners think of this, but God is not a capitalist.
Mm-hmm. Marxist, is he?
Flaming pinko commie.
Yep.
No, I think what you'd have to follow up, again, under the thing of like God is not systematic, is God's not any of those things.
Right.
God is not a socialist. God is not a communist. God is not a Marxist. God is not a libertarian. God is not a capitalist.
So God does not promote any specific economic systems.
Well, see, now that's curious, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
Because much of our scriptures is about God having a lot to say
mm-hmm.
about the economy mm-hmm. and about economies and about the way money flows. The Old Testament is full of, you know, if you're my covenant people, part of what that means is that you tend to the widow and the orphan and the refugee among you. Those are the big three: widow, orphan, and refugee. That some economy needs to flow that way. Now, is that something to build a system around? God never gets to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we don't have, it's not like some human economic system can line up to God's requirements upon us.
Yeah. You know, when you think of Acts in the early church, one of the first things that we're told about the early church is they held all things in common.
Yep.
And there was no need among them.
Yep. That sounds like socialism.
It does
to
sound
me.
Like socialism.
Yeah. And Christians of deep faith mm-hmm. have said that.
Right.
Over the years, yeah. And lived a certain way.
Yes. And still do. Like in monastery, convent type settings.
Yes.
That's still kind of the way that mm-hmm. things go.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know, it is a complicated thing because the problem is, just like the American category, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we bring all this earthly, worldly baggage into these conversations that isn't really relevant, mm-hmm. right? Like, it doesn't really matter
mm-hmm.
what you think of any given economic system when it enters into the theological realm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different topic, right? Because there's ways that we live this out for a discipleship perspective, and then there's ways that they are pragmatically embodied in the world. I myself prefer probably a capitalist system to a socialist system, given how things have gone
mm-hmm.
in human history.
Yeah, it makes me sad for socialism, real frankly.
Yeah, well, as
I had hoped some things would go better for them.
Yeah, I know,
in a lot of ways,
right?
Because so much of it does line up
mm-hmm.
with Christian
right.
teaching, but it doesn't appear, you know what always gets in the way?
People. Right.
Yeah. And human sin.
Right.
And so when there's power involved, it just gets corrupted.
Right.
So socialism has not had a real good day.
No, because you can't get the people
world.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe once AI takes over, socialism will be great. But
I'll get ready to vote for the AI
yes.
Socialist Party.
That's right. Until then, I don't have a lot of optimism. Which is to say, though, that, you know, some of you are probably listening to this and being like, what about capitalism? Has it been so great morally? Of course not. That's the point of this conversation, right?
Yeah.
So don't, in the same way, you make a better argument scripturally for socialism than
you
capitalism.
You absolutely do.
But you still don't say God is socialist.
Yeah.
So you definitely don't want to say God is capitalist,
mm-hmm.
right? You want to make sure that you have some pretty strong guardrails on your economic worldview if you're
mm-hmm.
a Christian
mm-hmm.
because of how things can run amok,
mm-hmm.
right? And so anyway, it's a difficult thing to do. I think ultimately where this conversation should orient us back is not to broad economic policy,
mm-hmm.
but instead to our own pocketbooks.
Yeah, and I've shared this in the Sunday school class before when we were looking at the book of Revelation, but we've all slept since then. So I want to share, to me, the most terrifying moment in the entire book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is full of some pretty scary moments. You know, there's a dragon and this roiling water, and there's chaos, and there's this huge battle. You know, there's all kinds of scary stuff. But I think the scariest moment, especially for where I live and the time I live in, is when it's all coming to an end You know, the old world is going to pass away at, right before the new heavens and new earth passage, right? In 22, I think is where that is. But right before that, we read that everything's basically on fire. And the princes and like the merchants are off in the corner and they're just sobbing.
Right.
They're just sobbing. They're not, their world is collapsing.
Uh-huh.
And they don't want the new world because they were making a lot of money off the old world. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is the most indicting part of the book of Revelation for those of us who live under capitalism, I think.
Yeah.
Because I would weep if all I can purchase and buy and spend and invest and get my yield, if all of that collapses, I don't want the new world. I'd rather have this old one that's run by the dragon.
Right.
You know, it is just such an indictment upon where is my heart going to be? And boy, what a time is this. The only thing I talk to you about lately is who should we get for so-and-so? Who should we get for so-and-so? Yeah. On the Christmas list, right? I mean, we're in that season. And some of that is, there's nothing wrong with some of that. It's gift giving and it's to show you care. But at the end of the day, where is my heart?
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, our hearts, more than any of us would like to admit, are wrapped up with capitalism.
Yeah, I read somewhere that where your heart is where your treasure is.
You heard that in the Bible somewhere?
Back in that Bible. And, you know, it is a complicated thing, you know, to be in such... So, you know, here in America, we live among such incredible extravagance and affluence. And... even the poorest Americans, by and large, are wealthier than most people who have ever lived. And
yeah, I think they say that we are in the top 1% of wealth. Yeah. Almost every American is in the top 1%.
Yeah, it's like two-thirds
of
the country.
What anyone's ever lived.
Ever lived on the planet. Right.
Yeah.
And so it is difficult when you start thinking about, well, you know, what about this and what about that and what about, you know, like even the concept of like, upward mobility, right? Like climbing the ladder, whatever that means in your world, like promotions or degrees or whatever it means. Like the ladder is inextricably linked to capitalism, and the ladder theologically is dust.
Yeah, the ladder has nothing to do with what God desires for you.
Right, nothing.
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 Now, for you to feel some sort of monetary stability, you know, if you are experiencing instability in that area and you literally don't have enough, you know, that's not what God desires for you either. I'm not saying that. But once you have enough, quote unquote, then any further mobility from that is not what God's concerned about here.
Yeah.
That's not what abundant life means.
Right. Right. It doesn't. And in fact, what God wants you to do if you're climbing is to look down and look at what's below. And that's, I think, probably the most important thing that transcends any economic system, no matter what system you live in.
Yeah. And capitalism does not care about who's below. That's probably the biggest indictment.
It's probably the biggest problem, except, you know, there's some mild tax incentives. But outside of that, no, it really doesn't. You know, it amazes me. And I think it's a great testimony to people's faith. America is also the most charitable country that's ever lived. And I think that's because of that faith that's in our DNA, even if we don't practice it. We still give a lot of stuff away. We give a lot of money away, a lot of goods away. And I think it's to our credit as a society that we are that charitable. And we do think about it. You know, obviously we could do it better. But as individuals, I think... As individuals, we're pretty charitable, and it is that idea of like, okay, I bet I need to look around. I need to be mindful of those who are around me, and who's maybe slipping, and try to not let them fall. So it is complicated. Okay, I want to pivot to one thing though, because this is something I feel like sometimes I'm not as explicit as I should be about really terrible theology.
Oh, okay. I'm excited now. Yes.
And I think if we're going to talk about this. And God not being capitalist, we need to talk about prosperity gospel.
Yes, I wondered if you would be saying that next. So what you just said is the term prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. Whether or not our listeners have heard of it, you have heard of it. Mm-hmm. You've heard about it, whether or not you've heard the term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the idea is here that your material blessings correlate to your faith. Mm-hmm. So the richer you are, the more prosperous you are, the more faithful you are.
That means God loves you.
Right. That mm-hmm. means you've been faithful. Mm-hmm. If you are not poor or not wealthy, if you are struggling, suffering, whatever, by correlation.
And amen, for the love of Pete, don't be sick.
Don't be sick. That means that you have somehow fallen out of favor in mm-hmm. your faith. So I think I shouldn't have to say anything about how this is problematic, deeply, deeply problematic.
But you do, because some of the country's most popular preachers are prosperity
they
gospel
are.
Preachers. I don't know if we want to name names, but
yeah.
You know, somebody has a big sanctuary down there in Houston.
Yeah.
Houston might be one mm-hmm. of them. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, I think you need to know it's out there in the culture, in the Christian culture around you. It's some of your friends probably believe this. Even we probably believe this to some degree. Kate Bowler writes about that very well.
Yeah, we have our own.
We have our own
versions
kind
of prosperity.
Like, I pray hard enough. I'm too good of a person.
Children would be safe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm too good of a person for this to happen to me. Like all of us have thought that before, right?
Yeah.
Like I do everything right. I pay my taxes and I give to my church and I'm nice to people at restaurants and and why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
I mean,
human response.
It is a human response, but like, don't let that theological worm get too far into your core, because it can rot it.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to correlate everything to prosperity, there's just not a lot of relationship there.
Yeah, and I had never thought of the two together, Phil, but that is interesting. That is absolutely it's budding right up next to that God is a capitalist.
Yeah.
Prosperity gospel is right mm-hmm. up to the edge of this is the only right system, mm-hmm. and in fact, it's the divinely, mm-hmm. Agreed to system. Mm-hmm. God says, yes, I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. And so go for it.
Right.
You know, that's really is a message mm-hmm. that prosperity gospel gives. And mm-hmm. and God's not a capitalist. And I don't find a lot of really wealthy people in the Bible who God is working with.
No,
there are some, yeah. I think. You know, mm-hmm. Moses, we don't talk about it much, but Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household. Mm-hmm. He had to have some moolah in the bank. You know,
by the time God pulled him out, he was a shepherd. You know, he'd run away from all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's certainly struggle and adversity are there for a lot of people. I think probably the best argument for this is probably Job, you know, where he gets everything back tenfold the Hollywood ending of that book.
Yeah, but you think about who Jesus called in particular.
Exactly.
He didn't call anybody wealthy.
Well, and he wasn't wealthy.
And he wasn't
like when
wealthy.
He died, he had
and he didn't
almost
promise
nothing.
A wealthy
no.
life.
No.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's like if that had been the point, if wealth and prosperity had equaled fidelity, the gospel would look very different than it does.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important because, and I think it is an American thing, it's a capitalist thing to come up with the idea of prosperity gospel. Until you had real explosive economic growth, you didn't really have this,
mm-hmm.
right? Like they're not sitting around in the Middle Ages writing about prosperity gospel
mm-hmm.
because there was no money and there was no upward mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's going to buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can stand up and preach it all you want to, but a serf's going to be a serf, going to be a serf.
Mm-hmm. But if you think you have an option of upward mobility, and if you think you can put faith language to put roller skates on that so that you're going to get that upward mobility mm-hmm. even faster,
right.
then that's pretty tantalizing.
Right. Yeah. So it's...
But it's not at all scriptural.
It's not scriptural. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
So I do think if we're going to have a conversation about economics and God, mm-hmm. that we do need to name that name of prosperity gospel mm-hmm. as being something that you want to, by and large, avoid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And especially, real frankly, avoid the pastors who say, you'll show your faithfulness as I make more and
right,
more.
Right, as you give.
Yeah,
right?
As you give. Mm-hmm. And they are really reaping the rewards. Because they took them from you.
Right. That's right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, that's end us on something more positive than that, though, Philip. It's Thanksgiving Day.
I don't have anything. You know. Anyway, well, I think We left the book at home, so we don't know what comes next in our podcast. We have one more week of this, I think, before we wrap up.
Oh, no, never mind. Don't remember.
Yeah. No clue. It'll be as exciting to us as it is to you.
Exactly.
What comes into this feed a week from today. But anyway, I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. We got a lot of exciting stuff coming up here at First Presbyterian in the coming days and weeks.
Remind them, however, you know, we will keep reminding you, day one has now moved to the gym for the next couple weeks. So
that's
9
right.
o'clock in the gym.
9 o'clock in the gym. Don't come to the fellowship hall. Well, you can. You're just going to be real disappointed and probably get your clothes dusty.
Yes.
So that'll be there. We're going to decorate the sanctuary this Sunday, which is always pretty fun. People like that. It looks great afterwards. So anyway, that's what I got, Tasha. You got anything else to say to the people?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. There it is. All right. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to the One Pres Pod. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you found it. And go to onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Until next time, peace.